This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, Joy listeners. It is Sunday Arts Magazine for another week. Hello, David Hunt.
Hello, Brendan Michael Bale.
Oh, congratulations for another year of Joy on
yes,
air.
Yes, yes. And it's Radiothon, as you would have been hearing if you've been listening since Friday afternoon. Well, Friday morning it started. And it finishes on this coming Friday. So you haven't got that long to join up and support this wonderful radio station.
No, it's wonderful. And if you do want to get onto that, 1300-JOY-949 is the number. We have people standing by to yes. take your phone call. You can also go on joy.org.au, and it's really simple to do it online as well.
And that will come up straight away on our computers,
yep.
so we can read it out live when you've joined.
Exactly.
So please do it today. We love your support, and you're very much... Well, once you become a member, you're part owner of this radio
exactly.
station. You own part of this radio
part
station.
Part of the family.
Part of the family.
Now, we've got a jam-packed show again don't we, David?
Yes.
Now, we're going to get into an interview very, very soon, but I wanted to get a little bit of a film discussion out of the way. David.
Yes.
Now, we went along to the little screening of 54... The director's cut.
Yes.
Now, you may remember 54 about the infamous or famous
54.
Studio 54,
yeah.
which came out all the way back in 1998.
Right.
It's a long time ago, isn't it, David?
It was a long time ago. but the nightclub was even older than that.
Yes.
And some of the madness that went on in that that nightclub. This film is incredible. And I believe that a lot of it was cut out because it was all a little bit too risque. And this is his
Yes, and it was all
cut.
Futile because it bombed at the box office anyway in 1998.
Yeah.
So all that effort to kind of de-gayify it and make it a little bit more palatable for a mainstream audience just failed anyway. So really, they should have done a director's cut straight away and just said, well, okay, we'll give the people what they want.
Yep.
But it's taken this long and we're grateful that they finally come back to it and actually debuted at Cannes and got a really nice response, which has kind of ensured that, that gets this sort of re-release, which doesn't happen. Usually you'll sort of get a director's cut for maybe a big film that people want to see more of, but not something that really sort of bombed at the time. So it's very interesting, and I had a ball. Basically, if people want to go see it, it is out on June 11.
Right.
And they're actually doing a little bit of a gala up at Cinema Nova as well. So with, dressing up in your best Studio 54 outfit. So I'm sure
which
you would love that, David.
Was it 70s or 80s? No. It was more 80s, wasn't it? Yeah, it was definitely 80s when it was its heyday.
Yeah, I think early 80s and then started going downhill.
Actually, our guest that's coming up seems to know a little bit about it.
I think we want to get
her
in.
And the fact is that she is far too young to know anything about it. So Sarah, we'll introduce you a little bit later about why you're here, but welcome.
Thank you.
And why are you nodding? Why do you know so much about this?
Well, I know that Steve Rubell is who the film is about, or it's not about him, but
yes.
he was the big proponent of the backing of Studio 54, played by Mike Myers.
Yep.
And it's about Ryan Phillippe kind of working as a barboy. And I just remember this movie so much because Neve Campbell was so hot in it, as she was in everything else. I didn't think she was that bad an actress. People kind of hate on her. But her in The Craft, her in 54, her in Party of Five, just anything Neve Campbell, I'm pretty all about. And I love the period of the 80s, and I love the kind of subculture of nightclub scenes, which I think are kind of fading.
Yeah, well, certainly fading from there.
Yeah.
And Melbourne was very famous in that day for nightclubs as well.
Oh, really?
Melbourne had probably 20 nightclubs where there'd be queues down the street on all the major nights. So we lived a little bit of that life, and it wasn't far removed from what went on there.
Yeah.
And I think it was just something that was happening around the world. But that club was famous because all the celebrities celebrities.
Yes,
went there.
Like Michael Jackson, Liza Minnelli, Diana Ross. Of course, this is before I'm born, but I love pop culture history,
yeah.
I guess.
All right.
I don't like that it was like highly selective, so they kind of could turn away whoever.
Yeah.
So that's not cool. I like to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
But I do like the kind of like what happens there stays there, you know, kind of decadence.
So have you seen this director's cut?
I haven't. I didn't even know about it. So thank you, Joy FM. And I hope you're here for years and years to let people know about director's cuts.
Well, you have a bit of a crush on Neve Campbell.
I have a crush on a lot of
people. For some reason. And I was more towards Ryan. I'm
why?
Not sure why?
Weird.
But but he had
Salma Hayek in it.
Oh,
too.
She's gorgeous.
Fierce,
in it.
Yeah.
And she gets a little bit more to do in the director's cut. I feel
good
from what I remember.
More
of,
Salma. All
more
day,
Salma.
All day.
You can never have too much Salma. But Ryan Phillippe had a great run between sort of 97, 98.
He doesn't age.
And he hasn't really aged.
No.
Even now, he looks fantastic.
I don't know, like what his exfoliant is, like vampire blood or something.
I hear it's popular these days.
Yeah.
But it's really great to go back and see a film that really should have done it right the first time around.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but that's the beauty of film is that it can, you know, the cult status of film and the sheer fact that something like this has now come along. And you will obviously want to go out and see this director's cut.
Yeah, definitely.
You're aware of it.
Yeah, thank you, Joy FM, for letting me know.
Well, you see, that's why it's important that you actually support this station by becoming a member. Now's the time to do it. And what's that telephone number again,
Well, it
Brendan?
Is 1-300-JOY-949. And starting off at $22 for our under-18 members.
Yep.
And we love sort of having the younger crowd listen in and seeing what's happening in the community and giving them somewhere to go,
yep.
Even if it is through the radio.
Yep, so, absolutely. And at the end of this rainbow, if you're lucky enough, there's a car that you can win as well.
A car?
A car.
A brand new car?
Come on down.
What a steal for $22.
Well, that's for under 18.
Okay.
A family is $96.
$96 for a car? Oh,
hey, you've got to come back every day.
Keep around.
The price is right here at Joy FM.
Well, let's get into this interview.
Let's talk to Sarah about writing matters. Now, this is State Library of Victoria. They
reading,
do some wonderful
matters,
things.
Yeah.
Reading Matters. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us a little bit about it. It is a youth-orientated sort of event, but tell us a little bit about how you got involved and what your background is.
Sure. So I write young adult novels. My protagonists are lesbian. And they are of a Iranian, either Iranian-American or straight-up Iranian background, Eastern background. And it's my first time in Australia, and the Center for Youth Literature invited me to come down for Reading Matters and YA Matters, which is a great conference that's every 2 years. So we have authors and illustrators. There's something for everybody. So we have spoken word poetry by Abe Nook. We have Laurie Hall Sanderson, who's a very acclaimed author, who's here. We have a lot of Australian authors, Jared Thomas, who has a great book, and Claire Atkins, and Sean Williams, who's a great sci-fi writer. So there's been something for everyone. And so what's really great is like 2 days at the State Victoria Library, there was like just teen programs and school programs, which were really wonderful. So they got to interact with us and like take photos with us to put on Instagram to make their friends jealous and that kind of thing. And then there were 2 days of librarians and educators who came to see our presentations. And we talked a lot about diversity in the classroom and things that can be done to reach readers who maybe aren't inclined to read outside of the curriculum and that kind of thing.
So what were some of your highlights from both of those events? Like, how did they differ from each other?
They're so great because everyone's enthusiastic, you know. And I think my readership, what I really like about people that have found my books is that there isn't an age limit and that they're all different from each other. So they're different races, they're different socioeconomic backgrounds, they're different gender identities, they're different sexual orientations. And everyone's sort of gotten something from it. So I think at the conference, it was kind of like that, too, where people are just excited about reading and writing and getting young people involved in the arts.
So give us a bit of a background on how you ended up here in Melbourne.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
So when did you start to realize that you wanted to write and getting a publishing deal at your age?
Yeah, I got very lucky, but it's a lot of hard work too. So it's time and place and also being prepared. I always knew I wanted to be a storyteller. I just didn't know in what medium or capacity.
How old were you when you realized that?
That I wanted to tell stories. Yeah. My first job I ever wanted, and I'm coming from a Persian background, so they kind of want you to be doctors or engineers or married to one. And I didn't fit the bill in either of those areas. But the first job I ever wanted, my uncle was like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I was 4, and I was like, oh, I want to direct cartoons. So he thought I was interested in, like, animation.
Right.
But I was literally like, no, I want to, like, sit down with Bugs Bunny, like, get into his head and be like, listen, Bugs, here's the scene. Elmer Fudd is coming. He's got a gun. You're going to trick him a little bit. Just play with it. Just have a good time. So I didn't end up doing that. My undergrad work, I studied film and media arts, which is why I was so nodding along to your Studio 54 review. So I'd wanted to get into screenwriting and then found that that was kind of limiting because it's such a larger business.
Yes.
So they kind of want more mainstream characters.
Yep.
A lot of the time. So I ended up going to grad school for creative writing. And ended up in the Writing for Young People kind of program at Lesley University in Boston, which has a great creative writing MFA program. And so my mentor there, Chris Lynch, who is also a young adult writer, he got me in touch with an editor of his. And we thought she was just going to be like, oh, good job, kid, and good luck. And she read them and wanted to acquire them. So I had a very kind of amazing Cinderella story in a way.
That's incredible. So when did the invite come for here to come to Australia?
My publisher reached out to me last fall and said, do you want to come to Australia? I was like, yes. So Adele Walsh, who's been running the program, and everyone who's been involved has been great, and they invited me, and I said, yeah, I'll come. I love Australia. Land Down Under, playing all the Men at Work songs. Like.
Now, you see, that's something that we're all a little bit bemused with. We're never really sure of how well that song went, but it was huge in America, wasn't it?
1983 Grammys. I tweeted it. Like, I hope I don't sing this all the way. And I didn't want to come across as like the ugly American that's like, hey, where's Crocodile Dundee? You know, because I know what it's like to have like media depictions not really represent
what
things.
Way, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, but I was just really excited and hoped people would be okay with me and being here. And everyone's been really great and wonderful. And right. I'm supposed to bring a Hemsworth back for my sister as a souvenir.
I think there's enough to go around.
Yeah.
Now, we'll be back really soon, but we've got some important messages. Yes. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine with David and Brendan. Now, David.
Yes,
we've
Brendan,
got a couple of messages in.
We have. Now, remember... It's Joy's Radiothon,
it's
called Remember this year. So if you're not a member, become a member. It's important because arts programs like this, you know, we're so proud of what we do here on this show, Brendan, aren't we?
We certainly
and,
are.
And you know, like, we're not quite 12 months old yet.
No, and, we're still a fledgling.
And the lovely following we've got and how our relationship has developed through doing this program and the sheer fact, all the topics that we cover every week that you wouldn't hear about all of this if it wasn't for Joy. Now, we've had a new member, Trevor. Trevor, thank you so much from Gilmore in ACT.
Wow.
So that is so lovely that you're listening all the way. Do I have to yell it? Thank you. So thank you so much. And we've also had a message from Mick saying, I was saving myself for Friday drive, but now I'm torn hearing you today with Brendan. Mick, it's your conscience. Where do you want to join?
Yes.
Here or on Friday drive?
Have you ever had someone save themselves for you, David?
Unfortunately, it doesn't happen enough.
Now, we haven't let this lovely lady leave yet because we've got so much more to say to her. Sara Farizan, I'm probably saying that wrong, but thank you for sticking around.
Thank you.
So give us a little bit of a background. Where's your heritage?
So I'm born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts, but my parents both happen to be from Iran. My dad came to the States in 72 and my mom came in 78 and they met in Boston and got married and all that and had me. Were you
brought up with all the lovely traditions?
Culturally, yes.
Yeah?
And so they were, what's really great, and I say this is, you know, pride comes from how you grow up and within oneself. So they gave me a lot of cultural pride and a lot of pride in, like, you know, the history. So that if there was kind of, you know, certain comments or things at school, I could be very proud of who I was.
Yep.
I just wish that... I could have told them I was gay sooner, and then that could have come pride come in that way also.
Right.
I had to do that on my own.
Okay, like, so when did that come, and how did they take it?
Oh, I came out to my mom when I was 18, so summer before college, and she always kind of like had an inkling. And then she told my dad when I was away at college, and they've just been really wonderful and exceeded any kind of expectation I've had, because I think a lot of my anxiety as a teenager was like, are they going to disown me?
Yes.
And they've just been just ultimate parents. You know, I think parents, like, when you have children, I'm not a parent, so I don't know what that love is like, but like, you want the best for them. You want them to be healthy and happy and love them unconditionally, and they certainly have done that.
Yep. That's great news. Now, reading matters. Let's get back to why you're here.
Yeah.
You know, like, why you got this trip to Australia.
I know. I feel like I won the lottery. Or I would feel like I won a car.
A car.
From donating to Joy FM here in Melbourne.
You are a natural. We love you. We love you. So tell us a little bit more about this whole wonderful moment that's happening here with the State Library.
It's amazing. The library itself is really gorgeous and really beautiful and packed on a Sunday.
Like, and out of our front window, you might not have noticed when you came in, we've got the best view, the best view of the library
here. Yeah, it's been wonderful. And so today at the State Library, Victoria, it's the first time, I think it's the first time, where the teenagers could come for free. So usually it's a paid program for librarians or schools.
Yep.
But Sunday it was like open to the public. So there's all these like really excited teen readers and their parents, and they're coming to see all different types of writers. So even if there's a certain writer that doesn't speak to you, there might be one later on in the day. And so it's been really wonderful, and everyone's been really kind and generous, and really talking about young adult literature and what that means to young people. So it's been tremendous.
What's some of the feedback that you have got from the actual readers themselves then?
Today, actually, like, there was an autograph line after speaking, and I was speaking with Laurie Hall Sanderson, who is a much bigger deal than I will ever be. She's got a ton of books and awards and is very sage and wonderful. But there was a young woman in my line, and this happens a lot when I do events, who came up and said, you know, young woman, early 20s, was like, you know, your book helped me come out to my parents. And I told her that, you know, made my, you know, decade. So that's the whole point of why I do what I do.
Oh, that must be so rewarding.
Yeah,
when you hear
really
that.
Great. Yeah.
And tell us, the librarians that are coming through, how are they accepting somebody like you? Are they open to it?
The ones that I met that talked to me, I mean, I try and make them laugh a little bit and be as personable as possible, because I think on paper it might be a little daunting to like have that book in your curriculum. And I expect I won't be in a lot of curriculums worldwide. You know, I think it's still a uphill kind of battle. But I was really impressed with people that wanted to come up and really wanted to teach it, even if they were teaching at like a Catholic girls' school, because we both kind of looked at each other. I was like, 1 out of 10, right? Somebody there will probably really need this book. So I think librarians are more inclined to think about their students and people that are coming to the library, which is really amazing.
Yeah.
Now, Sarah, we've got a couple of messages in. So,
oh, dear. No hate mail, I hope.
Oh, definitely not.
Oh, man.
You're on Joy. There's never any hate mail.
Never. But we've just got Mick, who messaged in a little bit earlier as well, and he's just wondering, is the writer's program over? Is it still going? I have a 14-year-old that writes incessantly. Not that he's allowed to read any of it, though.
Oh. Yeah, the stuff's appropriate for 14 and above. The program is ending today at State Library Victoria, but a bunch of authors, we are visiting schools in different states. So me and another Australian author, Will Kostakis, are going to a school in Brisbane, and then other authors are going to other parts of the country. I would visit the State Library Victoria website and Center for Youth Literature, Google it, and see when the next program is.
Wonderful.
And see what other programs the library is providing.
Now, thank you for that information.
Because there is a conference coming up as... Oh, no, hold on, I've got that wrong. There is,
oh, it was this weekend.
There is something else coming up, though, isn't there? Oh, maybe I've got that wrong. No,
that's okay. In 2 years' time, your son is 16 and more equipped to read the stuff... Check out Center for Youth Literature, and there will be a whole new batch of authors from around the world and Australia.
Fantastic. And now Jim from Halfington, we love Jim.
Hi, Jim.
What do you think, I don't know if you've seen the film Appropriate Behaviour.
Oh, we follow each other on Twitter. She's lovely.
Yes. Yeah. So what did you think about that as a U.S., right. Iranian U.S.?
One, I was really jealous that I didn't make it. I was like, oh, man, she beat me to the punch. Two, it's so funny, and I think it has a lot of universal elements, and she's really gorgeous and lovely and talented. So I think it's really interesting that there's more of like it's been what's really been great for me too, other than the readers, is getting to know other people like me who have similar experiences, because for a long time I thought I was like this unicorn, like I'm the only, like, you know,
the only
lesbian
gay in the
Persian
village.
Yeah, I'm the only gay in the village. That's like Little Britain, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm the only one, you know. So I had these very like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh moments, like, oh, thanks for noticing me. So now it's nice to see other people who have similar experience, yeah, or can talk about it.
Well, I must say I'm obsessed with that film.
Yes,
I saw it. Yeah. We had it, I think it was close to 2 years ago now, mm-hmm, for Melbourne International Film Festival.
Yeah.
And it had been doing the circuit, you know, mm-hmm, the independent film circuit, and I just thought it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of discussion around bisexuality,
yeah,
as opposed to, mm-hmm, you know, black and white kind of, yeah, lesbian relationships.
And
it's sort of, yeah, a lot of grey area.
Yeah, I think bisexuality, I have bisexual characters in my books. I think bisexuality, it's this weird thing where, like, straight people are like, choose a side, and gay people are like, choose a side, and it doesn't work like, mm-mm, that. Like, there's a total spectrum. And, like, I just think love is so hard as it is, if you're able to find someone that, you know, that you can really support and is a healthy, consenting relationship. I don't see why people are so, like, but what are you? Like, just leave people alone. I don't know. I think it's totally important to have more bi representation and more bi protagonists in media.
Mm.
And hopefully I can write one, or hopefully there's another movie. And it's just really great, because there's a lot of... In the LGBT, I think sometimes we might focus too much on the G or the L, and we got to include anybody. We got to include the intersex people, mm-hmm, and the asexual people, aromantic people, because there's a lot of different ways of being an awesome human being.
Absolutely. We need to get you on a phone sometime and do a whole podcast with you,
okay,
on a regular basis.
It would be a joy.
Oh, boom,
see
boom,
what I did there?
Boom, boom.
Oh, this yank on the radio. Get her off. I'm so sorry.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here. Sara Farazan, thank you so much.
Yes,
and
thank you.
I think
you.
Melbourne is a richer place for having you here.
Oh my God. I left my heart here with a straight girl as a boyfriend.
Oh.
I know. But if they ever break up, I'll come right back to Joy FM. And I'll invite you all to the wedding.
And you can drive the car when you win at the Radiothon.
I know. Oh, my God. You guys will provide the honeymoon. It's great.
Well, if that's not an endorsement for Joy 94.9, I don't know what is. Thank you so much,
thank
Sara, for hanging around with us today.
Thank you, Melbourne.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine. Joy. Oh, the lovely girls from Haim here on Joy 94.9. That was The Wire. We'll have that in the background while we keep talking. David, thank you for sticking around with me on this lovely Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy Radiothon 2015 edition.
Yes, and if you want to become a member, please do so now. You can do it by ringing us. We have people here. What's the number?
1300-JOY-949. We've got a lovely bunch of Joy volunteers,
yeah,
who've given up their time,
yeah,
on a Sunday.
A dodgy lot, if you ask me, but very, very nice. Are they listening? No, they're not listening.
Probably not listening.
And of course, you can also join up online. And we'll automatically come here to the studio, so we'll see when you've joined up. Now, moving right into our next interview, it's all about reading, writing in this wonderful city of ours. We just had Sara on from Reading Matters, and now we've got National Youth Writers Month happening.
Young Writers Month.
Young Writers. Oh, did I forget the young?
Yes.
Sorry. Young Writers Month. And we'll start off with Pippa, who's GM and CEO. Pippa, hello and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on the station.
No, our pleasure. Tell us a little bit about this.
Okay, so National Young Writers Month is a month run by Express Media, which is an organisation that is all about developing young writers.
And where are they?
We're situated in the Wheeler Centre.
So it's in the State Library as well, in the building, isn't
it? That's
right. But you run very separately.
That's right. We're one of the resident organisations of the Wheeler Centre, which is set up to support writers and literary bods from around Melbourne.
Right. So why is this, you know, a particular a month important?
It's particularly important because during this month, we're a national organisation, so it's our chance to be able to connect with young writers right around the country to help them to set and meet some of their writing goals. So it's a month of online and offline activities that people can engage in, and we've got here with us some of the presenters of some of the sessions that if you log on to expressmedia.org.au every night at 6 p.m, you can see some of the sessions and participate in the Google Hangouts that are taking place as part of Young Writers Month.
Okay.
And I'm just curious about the online aspect of it. Was it kind of a necessity, or was it something you actually wanted? You thought it was a better way to do things?
I think we were having a bit of a chat about it beforehand, and it's a little bit of a necessity. We're a not-for-profit organisation, and obviously funds are tight, but it's also...
Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, as you all know, so I hope that everybody's signing up, you know, during Radiothon, and yeah, we hope that you'll get online and support us as well. But it's also about reaching people in remote areas, regionally, right across the country, where we can't always be there, and it's also great for young writers that might feel intimidated by coming into some big events and those sorts of things, or coming into the city,
right,
can engage from the comfort of their own homes.
Have you heard any sort of really good feedback about people that may be in isolation and you've actually sort of helped them with that?
Definitely. Some of the rest of the panel might have some stories about that. Perhaps I'll throw to Brody, who's been on our editorial committee and can perhaps talk about some of the young writers that have engaged online.
Hey there.
Hi.
Sorry to jump in. Yeah. So my name's Brody. I'm on the VoiceWorks editorial committee, VoiceWorks being the national magazine that Express Media puts out there for people under the age of 25. But I'm actually from a regional area. I'm from Northeast Victoria. And so, yeah, look, I guess I'm a testament to the fact that Express Media, pushes out its content to everyone across Australia, and also helps young aspiring, writers basically get published. But so much more than that. Sort of, you don't just get your work out there straight away. It's about nurturing the next crop of writers, so to speak, which is what this whole month is about.
So, Brody, how did you find out about it?
VoiceWorks and Express Media actually has a very strong sort of schools program, a lot of workshops at schools. And so I originally found out about Express Media through my librarian. And so I think when you're dealing with sort of people in regional areas, sort of hubs such as libraries and schools are sort of, yeah, the places for people to go.
Right. And so you went online and discovered this whole world. And is that how then you ended up in this position? Just for it from contributing and talking online?
Yeah, pretty much. I was first published in the magazine when I was 17.
Right.
And that was when I was still living in the country. And then when I moved to Melbourne to study, I then sort of got involved with the magazine from there. So I guess it's just about the wealth of opportunities that exist out there. Because a lot of time when you're from a regional area or, you know, even remote areas, it's just really hard to, I guess, find those communities, whether that be in literature or sort of the queer scene or anything like that.
Yeah. Now, Paul, tell us what you're doing, because you started off, you were actually writing. Now, you tell the story.
Yeah, so I'm predominantly a writer, and I'm actually presenting a talk or hosting a talk between two comic artists. So I myself can't draw, though a lot of comic artists say that's not very important when it comes down to it, but I keep trying and it's not happening. But I'm hosting a talk on sort of words and pictures with two Australian comic artists who are really quite exciting at the moment. So Chris Gooch and Katie Parrish. So they're both young but very successful, and Melbourne in particular has a very, very strong comic scene.
Oh yes.
And particularly a very, really literary comic scene, but unless you're in that hub, a lot of people don't really know about it, or they don't know what they sort of can do. So the idea is that we'll be talking about comics, but also particularly comics as a way of sort of political comment, because with a comic you can do sort of a lot more than you might be able to, say, do in 2,000 words.
Yes. And also with a comic, they actually can be a little bit nasty as well, you know, picking on an audience or a particular person or beliefs or whatever. Are you touching on that?
Not quite. So we'll mainly be, and you know, comics, even when you go back sort of in history, they sort of actually began as mainly political cartoons.
Mm.
And that's one of their sort of...
Well, look what happened in Paris.
Well, exactly. So that's one of the originators. But we're more of looking at sort of how comics can show individual or personal experiences, but do them in a way that is somehow political or talking. So Katie Parrish has a lot of queer comics, and recently there's been a lot of comics coming out about, you know, Nauru and detention and immigration and these sorts of things.
So they're largely counterculture, or are there things sort of on trend as well? You know, it's in the mainstream, or is it always against the mainstream, I suppose?
So comics generally has a history of, if you're not mainstream, so if you're not superheroes, generally there's a history of underground being, you know, against and counterculture. I think at the moment that's sort of changing a little bit, but I'd say that comic artists in particular, they're a little on the fringe, but that's kind of great.
Yeah. So Emma, tell us what you're doing.
Well, I'm the sex and gender editor at Spook Magazine, which is an online publication. We're based in Melbourne, but we've got writers who are working for us all across Australia. And I'm also just a freelance writer all around the place, mostly about, yeah, sex and gender.
Right. And what got you involved in this particular month? You know, they come to you or did you approach them?
Yeah, they came to me this year, which was nice because I've been approaching them
right.
in the past. So I first started doing a lot of writing through student media, which is where I, through my university in Adelaide, which is how I became connected to Express Media. And I was a little bit too old for VoiceWorks, which has an age limit of 25. But I got involved in National Young Writers Month. I think we first connected because I started setting some goals and going by the goals that National Young Writers Month was putting out there on my blog. And then, we ended up connecting that way.
So what spooks? Spook or Spooks?
Spook.
Right.
Spook. It's an online culture magazine. So we, publish a lot of stuff about art, fashion, culture, politics, and sex and gender.
So once again, we're sort of getting to the aspect of new media as a way of, you know, connecting people, telling stories. So is that sort of a necessity or is that a strength?
I think both, actually. I think, obviously, we're facing, you know, print being something that's becoming rarer and rarer as a commodity. But I think the internet as a space for publication is great because it's also so connective. And I don't know if that's a word, connective. We'll just say that it is. Because it means that kind of media is accessible for readers everywhere and for writers everywhere to submit their work.
And shareable as well,
Very
I'm assuming.
Very shareable, yeah. Mm.
So, Brody, where do you see it going with what you're doing, introducing all these great people around this country of ours, in youth in particular? You know, because it's so important that we keep on working with youth, isn't it, in this because it's so hard to be published these days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just hard to be published, it's hard to get a job. We know that the entry-level job market is pretty tight at the moment and youth unemployment is high, particularly in regional areas. But I think it's more about National Young Writers Month is about keeping the conversation going. Often with writers' festivals, they often go for a week or two and everyone packs up and goes home. But the great thing about Express Media is that it's about an ongoing conversation and bringing everyone together for an entire month to, as I said before, keep the conversation going. Nurture the young writers of tomorrow.
And are there sort of some outcomes that you are hoping for, or is it whatever happens?
I mean, I guess I'll be happy if we get a few more regional writers pitching to VoiceWorks. We get people all over the country, and whether that be from, you know, Wodonga in northeast Victoria to Darwin in the Northern Territory. But I think that's my personal goal, is that we'll get a few more people from rural and regional areas.
Pippa, so what is your overall goal?
I have to be honest, I think Brody's probably hit the nail on the head a bit.
Good on him.
We'd like to see a lot more regional involvement in Express Media and involvement from young writers outside of Melbourne. But also just we'd like to see a lot of young writers reaching their writing goals. As Emma suggested, it's a month where you can set your own goals and try and meet them during that time. You've got a month to get writing and get working.
Right. And is there actual real contact time, or is a lot of it just online?
A lot of the content is online. However, we do have launches right across the country of our 100th issue of VoiceWorks, which was launched here in Melbourne just this Friday, just past. However, if there are people listening outside of Melbourne, we do have launches coming up in Brisbane, Sydney, Canberra, Wollongong, Adelaide and Hobart. Mm-hmm. And members of the Express Media team will be at all of those events and will be joined by some of our VoiceWorks editorial committee and young writers. It's a chance for them to get together and meet and talk about their work and talk about their writing goals at those events.
And what's the best way for people to get involved with that then? What are some websites?
What are some websites? We'd love you to go to the Express Media website. So that's expressmedia.org.au. And as I said, logging on every day throughout June at 6 p.m, there'll be new content. There'll be Google Hangouts. There'll be videos and tutorials online. There'll be spotlight sessions on specific young writers who are getting involved. And so if you keep logging back, that'll be refreshed every day. So we hope that young writers jump on board every day to have a look at what's new on the site and different ways they can get involved in fiction, non-fiction, poetry, lots of different genres across the field of writing.
Oh, that's why it makes it so important that we live in this wonderful city of Melbourne. So, Emma, you said you were from Adelaide, so you moved over here?
Yeah, I did, that's right.
Why?
Actually to study, but also definitely to be closer to...
So much of that happens here.
Yeah, exactly, that space. And the Wheeler Centre is a big part of that.
It certainly is. It's incredible what it does, the Wheeler Centre. Thank you so much for all coming in today. And congratulations for being part of this amazing month. It just sounds fascinating. And they're all such great talkers, aren't they?
Yeah, like, we're spoiled today.
Yeah, so good on you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're on Joy 94.9.
That was Sam Smith here on Joy 94.9. I'm not the only one.
Oh, no.
So don't be the only one to miss out on becoming a member today. Did you like that segue there, David?
I do.
1-300-JOY-949 is our phone number, or you can also go online, joy.org.au.
Now, here's a lovely message from Brent from Ascot Vale. Hi, Brendan and David. Enjoying the show today on the tram with Joy in my ears. Oh. Can't renew on your show because I've already done it, but I would have done it if I'd known. So thank you so
Big
much,
Big smiley face
Brent.
As well. We love Brent.
Yes. And we have Gail from Rosebud, and she has joined in support of Sunday Arts Magazine. So thank you so much, Gail from Rosebud. And she's also donated $78.
That is wonderful.
Yes, so that's absolutely brilliant. And and this is a renewal. It's Benjamin from Newport. And so thank you, Benjamin, for rejoining. And we've also got...
Stuffy from Pasco Vale.
Yes.
So we're all around Melbourne today.
We are. And here's another one.
Fabulous.
And it's George from Fairfield. Oh,
good on you, George from Fairfield. We couldn't be happier with your support out there, Joy listeners. As we said, you can do it. Renew your membership or become a new member if you're new to the station. 1-300-JOY-949. And you can email us as well just to say hi.
Of course.
On air at joy.org.au. And check out what's happening online or renew your membership, become a member online, joy.org.au.
And how important this station is for our community and the broader community, like Sarah that we actually had from Boston, who's here for the Reading Matters at the State Library. She was blown away that there's a radio station like ours here in Melbourne. She doesn't have one back in Boston.
No.
And she thinks it's a great idea. And we're going to try to keep in contact with her and maybe do some blogs and stuff with her, which would be good fun.
She is impressive. Now, I think there must be something to say about Iranian Americans.
Yes.
Because the film we were talking about before, Appropriate Behaviour, just impressive, very, very impressive. So maybe there's something going on there, something very interesting. Now, another lovely shout out to, well, do we call him lovely?
Nah.
But we've got a lovely message from him to my darling boys, from Chris from Q Country.
Oh, we love Chris.
Listening into him today, fantastic. Always a fabulous selection of songs.
It is a brilliant show. It's a country music show, and a lot of people screw their nose up at country music, but he does a brilliant job, and his knowledge of the artists that he deals with is incredible. And he's getting such a reputation that, you know, he even went on tour with artists late last year in America, and he's been brought into recording studios with artists when they're recording, so they can, you know, he's getting it firsthand on when they finish their recordings to have them on his show. So again, another brilliant show on Joy, and where we're so varied, all the different shows, especially on a Sunday. Sunday's a really good a good time
if we do say so ourselves.
Yes.
But you know, from my experience, I used to do daytime, and that was fabulous, fantastic. Yep. But there's something different about doing a specialty show. You can sort of build it from the ground up, and really sort of gather a following of people that you want to sort of, you know, make happy every week.
Yep.
Take you along with us on our, you know, learning journey, yep, basically.
And the arts, and as we discover all the time, and how excited we actually get when we talk to some of these, they're so talented, and it must be such a struggle, like it is for Joy, such a struggle to be an artist. And it's really wonderful, you know, like the stories you hear of people within the arts.
It certainly is. Now, become a member, renew your membership, yep, and support the station that supports you out there. You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy.
Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine. Brendan, that's me. David, that's you.
Yes.
Thank you to our listeners today. We've had a fantastic show.
It always is. And don't forget, if you're not a Joy member, please become one. Or if not, rejoin like Brent did. he rejoined last Friday, I believe. But he wished he'd done it today. Anyway, you could have always donated or something like that, Brent, but we won't hold that against you.
I don't know. It was some weird Friday show that I had to. I just
yeah,
had to.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
they won't let you get away
show,
with it.
Friday Drive with David and Sue.
Now, stick around for it next week as well. Tune in Friday. But that's it for us.
That's it for us.
We're back next week. Now we've got Marnie with the news here on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.